to the Renaissance, with poets, painters, and bon vivants, and merry minstrels who stroll the streets of London, a strumming their lutes
in puffy pants and pointy leather boots.
Welcome to the Renaissance, where we ooh and ah you with ambiance.
The critically acclaimed musical comedy Something Rotten, directed and choreographed by Tony Award winner Casey Nicola, ended its Broadway run on New Year's Day at the St. James Theater. It had been nominated for 10 Tony Awards and played 742 performances. You missed it? Don't worry. The show now is going on the road, and the first stop is Schenectady and Proctor's Theater. It opened there last night and will run through Sunday. Set in 1595, Something Rotten tells the story of Nick and Nigel Bottom, two brothers who are desperate to write a hit play. When a local soothsayer foretells that the future of theater involves singing, dancing, and acting at the same time, Nick and Nigel set out to write the world's very first musical. Well, the man who plays that soothsayer joins us this morning. Blake Hammond plays Nostradamus. He's been seen on Broadway in Living on Love, First Date, Sister Act, Elf, Billy Elliot, Hairspray, The Lion King, and The Music Man. And it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
I knew I was going to be here.
Yeah.
I knew it.
It's so cool to have Nostradamus in the studio. What's Trump going to say in a half hour?
I refuse to answer that question.
So you had your first performance last night, and let me just, this is a big deal. I think it's a big deal for us here in the Capital Region. Obviously, it's a big deal for you all, but you have a hit show. It's going on the road, and it all starts here in Schenectady with all the tech and all the work and everything.
Yes,
and
indeed.
You get to take over the theater for a couple of weeks and work your magic and present it to an audience for the first time.
Yeah,
very cool.
It is cool, and we like being in Schenectady. It's such an adorable little town, you know.
Yes.
And some great restaurants, man. That has been changed the last 10 years,
yes.
I'm telling you. So it's a great place to go in between calls and get a nice meal. And the theater, the Proctor's, is a beautiful, beautiful theater.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And, you know, we had all the local crew people and the local dressers have just been really wonderful helping us get this ready to go.
Now, I saw the show on Broadway when it first opened, and I just loved it. And the only thing I can say, and it's just so much fun. I hesitate because it sounds like I'm giving some sort of criticism and I'm not, but there's really nothing to it more than just a lot of fun.
Absolutely. You know, I think of this show as a true love letter to musical theater, really. I mean, it's honoring it, it's glorifying it, it's making fun of it, all of the above. And what I love about the show, though, is that If you know theater and you know Shakespeare, even, you know, it can be very extra jokes you get here and there. But the truth is, you can know nothing about theater and nothing about entertainment and come there and just have an absolute ball because the writing is that funny. It really is hilarious.
It's very quick. The writing is hilarious. There's just jokes and double entendre, just some very quick, some things that, you know, don't hit you right away. And then you think about them a little bit later and you start laughing. Really wonderful moments. And then, of course, like pratfalls, sight gags. It's all in there.
It's all there.
Yeah.
And it's such a joy to do a show like that, especially in a time like this we're having in our world. You know, it's great to go to a place where you can just really just like think about nothing for 2.5 hours and just laugh. You know, let yourself go a little bit.
One of the things that I really enjoyed about the show, and as you said, is that you can know a little or a lot about theater, but it is that love letter to theater,
yes,
especially musical theater. Talk a little bit about your big number, which really sets up the whole idea of the show.
Right. I do play a soothsayer, so I'm trying to see the future for the lead, Nick Bottom, and trying to help him find out what the next big thing in theater is going to be. And I tell him that it's going to be musicals, which they've never done at this point in history. And so I do a number called A Musical. It's about an 8.5 minute long song. It's a long song, but it basically chronicles musical theater over the last, I don't know, 25 years. It's really, it's an incredible number to get to do because it starts out with just me and Nick Bottom, but turns into a spectacular production number with crazy amount of people on stage tap dancing and having a ball, you know?
No, it's a showstopper. That's a showstopper of a number.
It's a showstopper of a number. It's always an honor when you get cast in a show where that number's handed to you. Yeah. I am thrilled to have it.
And because, as you say, it's 8.5 minutes, but it also sets up everything, and it's where all the pieces start coming together.
That's
and you're
right.
Like, man, this is going to be great.
That's right.
And you can't wait for what comes after.
You know, it's so fun as a character actor, because quite often we don't get to have those kind of songs in
right.
shows. The
yeah.
lead gets that song, you know? But this is great to have this song in the show, and also just to be able to be such an integral part of the plot. You know, without this character, the whole show would not happen. So it's really fun to be that part of the plot.
And then they bring you in at different parts, and it sort of always plays itself out. And
right. I end
fun.
Up trying to help him write the entire production,
yeah.
which is really fun because I'm a good soothsayer, but I'm not a completely accurate one.
Now, we should say that the rivalry is between is with William Shakespeare.
Absolutely.
And what can we do that'll best Will?
Well, it's fun in this production, too, because Shakespeare sort of played as a, I don't know, Mick Jagger kind of rock star kind of character, which is a really fun take on Shakespeare.
Yeah,
you know?
Egotistical, a little bit of, you know,
absolutely.
Thinks very highly of himself.
And, you know, crowds love him and flock to him.
Right.
That caused a lot of jealousy for the Bottom Brothers because they just want to do good work.
Right.
But nobody's flocking to them, you know?
When, give us a little, just a sense of your involvement of at what point were you cast and how long have you known that you were going to be doing this?
Well, I have worked with Casey Nicholaw before, and when I saw the show a year ago, I remember talking to him one day and saying, I want to be in this production at some point in my life. But they had auditions this last summer in New York City, and I just showed up, and my agent got me a call, and I went in and did my best job. Got a nice call back in September and was pretty much hired after that. I remember sort of even after all the shows I've done, I kind of jumped up and down a little bit in my living room when that phone call came, because this is an absolute treasure of a role.
Yeah.
And a lot of people wanted it. So it's nice to be able to win.
Absolutely.
You know.
And for a working actor, it's nice to have a gig for a while.
Absolutely.
A steady gig.
You know I have a job for at least a year and longer if I want it, maybe. And to see the country again, you know, to see what's happening in our world again. I really do enjoy touring. I was here 4 years ago with Adam's Family,
yeah,
playing Uncle Fester. And
you're here on this show.
Even yeah. downtown. Even yes, in this very room with you.
Yeah.
And even in 4 years, so much has changed in Schenectady. So
yes.
There you go.
And when you have an experience like that, I mean, do you feel like you go through phases of like, oh, I feel like I could go on the road this year. That would be great. Oh, and maybe it would just be nice to stay in a place for a while.
I do. I fortunately for me, I feel very grateful to be able to go on the road for a year. And usually what happens is that I come back home and I do a Broadway show for the next season.
Yeah.
And I go back and forth. I like being in Manhattan, and Broadway's amazing. But I also like doing shows on the road because I personally like the idea of bringing quality theater to people that don't necessarily get to see it. Not everybody can go to New York City and see a show. You know, you guys here are lucky enough to be able to get there pretty quickly if you want
right.
to. But that's not the case in Ohio. That's not the case when you go down to Memphis, Tennessee. And those people want to see great shows too, and we get to bring it to them.
When you do that and you bring these shows, because it is, you know, I read your a little bit of your resume of the shows that you do on Broadway. I assume most of those roles you were there for a while. You were in those parts for a while.
Sure. You know, Music Man was 2 years.
Was that with Craig Bierko?
It was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, there are other ones that.
And you were one of the trio, right?
The quartet, yeah.
The quartet. Yeah. Yeah.
I sang the
quartet.
All the high notes.
Right. Well, good on you.
But Hairspray was like a show I did for 3.5 years, and my job kept changing. You know, I was the male authority figure for a year. And then
were you there from the beginning?
I did the national tour first.
Okay.
And then I joined 2 years after Broadway show had opened.
And Harvey had left at that
Harvey
point.
Harvey had left, and they brought Bruce Valanche in,
yes.
and I had covered him on the road. They brought me with him.
Okay.
And I did the male authority figure there, and then I stood by for about almost a year for Edna, Wilbur, and the male authority figure, which means I went on when someone was out.
Right.
And then they gave me the role of Edna for 10 months. So it was sort of a great job that kept changing. So
now, if anybody saw that recently on NBC, that's a great role too.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Someone asked me the other day about what was fun about, you know, being a character actor, and I said to them, you know, because I get to play Nostradamus, and then I get to play Tracy Turnblad's mother, and then I get to play, you know, a crazy adult that shaves his head, has no hair, that is basically a 10-year-old boy in Uncle Fester. I get to do these different people, take them on, and that to me is an absolute ball.
Also, as an audience, we like character actors. We're the ones that, I mean, sure, the stars, they get the applause, but when at that moment, you know, it's applause, and then you come out and it's like, whoa!
There you go.
And that must just be a lovely feeling.
Absolutely. Much to the leading man's chagrin sometimes.
but we expect, I mean, as a theater audience, we want that. We want to root for you.
Well,
we want to have that person who just comes out and gives a powerhouse performance.
I tell you, they're written this way for a reason, because it makes it work. You know, you have to have that lead, and you have to have the people. And boy, Rob McClure in our lead in Something Rotten, he is amazing. The amount of energy he has to put in is amazing. And I do all my scenes with him. And he's so generous and such a giving actor, and lets me have my moment, you know, lets me have my time. And then I leave and somebody else comes on and he gives them their time. That's a hard job, too. But the character actors, you're right. We get it's kind of the best gig of the night, you know.
You get the laughs.
You get the laughs.
It depends on the performance, of course. But not only do you get, I mean, this particular role, of course, you get the laughs. But people just like you.
Absolutely.
You know, you get that love, and I assume well before the curtain call at the end, you feel that.
Last night was our first performance of this one, and it was such it's a kind of a high, if you will, you know, to have that kind of laughter and applause. And we finished the number last night, and there was just three waves of different applause that just kept going. And I'm standing there going, this is amazing. You know, what a great way to make a living.
Now, what kind of, when you do the first performance, what kind of notes do you get from the creatives? Or is it they sort of give you some room to figure it out for yourself?
Well, you know, we've been rehearsing for about 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And of course, we have notes every day. We have rehearsal again today because we have to sort of fix things from last night. And that's what these are previews. That's what we're here for.
Yep.
Is to fix those problems and make things better. But for the most part, you know, on opening, like last night after the show, nobody gave me any notes. They wanted us to enjoy the success.
Sure.
Now, I'll get some today. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah.
But it was great for me because any actor, once you get an audience, you learn something you didn't learn before. There are moments last night I thought, well, this is going to be really funny. Silence, you know, nothing. So you have to sort of like go back and go, okay, what gets a laugh in the rehearsal room not necessarily is what's going to work in the show. And now I got to figure that out this week. So,
And that obviously comes with time and the experience. And then, of course, you have people coming in and out, too.
Which absolutely.
Is that changes.
It is time and experience. A lot of it, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, and I'm happily can say I'm more relaxed about it than I was 20 years ago. But, you know,
aren't we all?
I'm a little, right? But I'm a little bit more, I have a better ability to sort of like be okay with trying something new in front of an audience at night, not worrying about if it flops or fails, you know, just kind of.
We've had Brad Oscar on the show.
Sure, he originated this role.
Originated the role on Broadway, and we've had him on. He was just a lovely, wonderful actor. But I asked this question in two parts. One is, you know, have you or is it beneficial to you to talk to someone who has had the role for a while to get their input and I'm not even talking about before, but maybe after, of just get an idea of what they've experienced with it?
Well, I think a really smart actor is going to get all the information they can. Brad and I are friends, and we have been friends for years, and he saw our final run through in the studio, and so we chatted about that in New York. But I thanked him for his template.
Yeah.
And I've always said to anybody, you know, if something really is fantastic, you steal from the best. but then you also make it your own.
Sure.
You know, so I'm not doing Brad's performance, but he certainly laid the groundwork for me.
Right.
And he did all the heavy lifting in the beginning to make the script get to where it's at now.
And what made me think of the question was you saying, oh, I really think this should get a laugh tonight, and it didn't, or, you know, Phil,
right.
this didn't go, where, and he's already done that,
That's right?
He's already had that experience.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, but that's sort of what's fun about doing live theater,
sure.
You know, as it were, is finding out that it didn't work or that it really did work, you know, and you get both those sides of the coin. But I get a chance again tonight to do it all over again.
Well, we can't
That's
wait.
That's what's great.
It is great.
Yeah.
Something Rotten runs at Proctor's through Sunday. You can find out more information by going to proctors.org, proctors.org. It's such a fun show. You're such a talent and the whole cast.
Thank you, man.
Blake Hammond, thank you so much.
You are very welcome.
Delight to have you here. Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.